This is HPR episode 2135 entitled Audio Speed Up Script and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 28 minutes long. The summary is, I want to speed up some of my podcasts and truncate silence in them too, so I wrote a script to do it.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Howdy folks, this is 5150. If you're going to attend the Ohio Lynx Fest this weekend, October 7th through 8th, be sure to seek out the Lynx Podcasters booth. It is a collaboration between Hacker Public Radio, the Podnuts Network, Kernel Panic Oddcast, Linux Lugcast, and your other favorite shows. Joe Hecht of the New Single Board Computer and Virtual Private Server Show is graciously providing swag in the form of mugs, stickers, and t-shirts. And I am bringing an unworn t-shirt from Kansas Linux Fest 2015, the inaugural year. It's going to be first come, first serve, under the desk, so you're going to have to ask for it, and some stickers. And we'd love to meet all our fans in Columbus. See you there.
Hello everyone, this is Dave Morris. I've got a bash script for you today. I've called this episode Audio Speed Up Script. And I'm going to be talking about a script I wrote in May 2015. It was based on something that Ken Fallon did in show 1766, where he talked about how to use the SOX program, S-O-X, to truncate silence in audio and to speed it up. So I was inspired by this, but the SOX command was really complicated and quite hard to tweak for different settings and stuff. So I wrote a bash script to make it a bit easier to use. So I thought I'd share this script with you today. I called it Speed Up, even though it doesn't only do speeding up, it also does silence truncating and a few other things. So it's a bash script, as I said. You invoke it as speed up followed by options followed by a file name. I wrote it in the notes, and there are long notes for this, as they usually are with my shows, because I like writing, obviously. If you put the script in your bin directory, this is the convention, you create a directory called home, in your home directory called bin, B-I-N, and you put scripts in it, and then you make sure in your .bashrc that you have added the bin directory to your path variable, P-A-T-H, capitals, P-A-T-H, and if you do that, I think some bash RCs do that for you, actually. Can't remember. But if you do that, then you don't need to put a path on the front of the script. So conventionally, you put .slash for a script that's in the current directory. But if you put it in bin, you don't need to bother with that. Anyway, that's a bit of waffle getting us nowhere in particular. But the example I've cited doesn't use any .slash or anything. So let's go through what it does. It takes a file name, which pretty obviously is the audio file that needs to be worked on. You need to give it the full path. What happens is the script will rename that file and replace it with the modified version. So it doesn't modify in situ, but it creates the modified file has the same name as the original. I did that for my own benefit, really, because I'm using this on podcasts, and my podcasts are pointed to in a database. So I use the database to manage everything to do with podcasts, playing them, deleting them, and so forth. So I didn't want the name of the file to change. The original file is kept with an underscore after the name and before the extension. So xyz.ogg turns an xyz underscore .ogg. If you use an option to speed up minus lowercase c, then that file will be deleted. My podcast workflow system deletes them anyway, so it's not a problem for me, but I'm trying to offer this to the world. Anyway, let's whiz through the options. Minus S is the option that causes the audio to be sped up. You can apply different speeds, and you do that by repeating the minus S. So you can have a number of these. There's also minus T, which causes silence to be truncated, and you can repeat that one. You know, minus T, which will increase the sensitivity of the truncation process. Now, this was covered in Ken's episode, and particularly in the article that he cited in that episode. I also added a minus lowercase m, which is mixed down a stereo audio track to mono. And as I mentioned before, minus lowercase c will delete the renamed original file once it's finished. There's also a minus lowercase d, which switches on dry run mode, which you can run this to see what the script will actually do without it doing it. There's a minus uppercase D, which is really for me, or if you want to hack on this script, it switches it into debug mode, where it just reports what it's what some of the internal parameters are, internal arguments and stuff. Internal variables is what I'm trying to say. And there's also, finally, a minus lowercase h, which gives you a help report thing. Now, as I said already, you can do this, you can repeat the minus S or the minus T, and what it actually does is the script counts up how many of them you've provided, and it uses it, that number, to index a list of speeds or truncation settings. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute when I dig into the script itself. One of the things about Unix and the way arguments options, I should say, are processed in Bash is that you can concatenate them. So I've given an example where you type speed up minus S space minus S space minus S space minus T and then the name of a file, and that's the same as speed up minus SSST space and then the name of the file again. They both mean the same thing. I prefer to use the compressed version personally. So there's a script which I've included as part of this show. You can download it from the HPR site. I haven't done so yet, but I'll probably put it up on GitHub or GitLab. I'm not sure which one. I should have done this before I set off to record this. Anyway, I'll amend the notes appropriately once I've done it. Now, what I'm going to do is to go through the script in chunks and just explain what it does. So if you're not wildly thrilled at the prospect of listening to how a script works, then I suppose now's the time to stop listening. So if you're still with me, then thank you very much. Just had to stop because I got a spam phone call, so just coming back to where I left off. The mechanism I used to generate these notes seemed to be buggy. And it didn't like me starting and stopping with incrementing numbers. So I haven't numbered this one, which I apologise for. So it's harder to talk about bits. But I didn't want to just dump you the whole script and then number it and then talk about it referring all over the place. So I thought if you came to read this, it would be really hard to read. So I've gone for the chunk mode. So the first chunk consists of the usual comment I put at the beginning of shell scripts, followed by declaration of a script variable, which I tend to like to do. It comes from the $0 argument, and it's useful to use throughout the script at various points. I also declare a version number. I like to keep my script's version so I know which is which and stuff. Then there's a function called underscore usage. And all that is something that you call and it comes back to you with a bunch of help text. It's just a function so it can be called at different points. It's got a cat statement in it, which uses a here document, which contains the actual text. I've used the format of the here document, which allows you to substitute variables in it. One day I shall do a show on this aspect of Bash, just to help if people are not clear as to how this works. I tend to always do these things backwards, tell you about it first and then explain it later. Sorry about that. Anyway, the thing, it takes one argument, which is the number it will exit with, because it exits the whole script and it exits with a number. And the point of that is, if you're running a script from the command line, then the value that it exits with is pretty relevant. But if you're embedding a call to a script inside another script, you might want to be able to do things like run this script, and if it worked, do this, and if it didn't work, do that. So it's a good convention for a given script to come back with a value, usually one, to say, I didn't work, it broke, and then the calling script can do something about it. So that's what I'm doing here. And the reason the function exits is because once you've seen the help, you don't really want to go on to use it, because you might not have used it right and you want to find out how to. Or it might be scolding you that you've failed to provide the correct arguments or something. So the next chunk is definition of a bunch of variables. And these are variables which we're going to be using to hold the result of processing the options. Then there's a while loop, which goes through all the options and deals with them. I'm not going to explain this in great detail, but inside the while loop is a case statement which, on having chosen an option, looks it up and does something appropriate to what it is. And the particular one to concentrate on, I guess, is S, the S option, lowercase s. If we encounter that, then the variable speed up is incremented. So that's how the minus s, minus s, minus s thing works to record the number of s's that you provided. There's a couple of points where usage is called and the script exits. At the end of this chunk, there's a shift statement. Shift is a statement within Bash which you run within a script, which will remove a bunch of arguments. So the $1, $2 business. So the value given to this is the number of options which we've processed in the loop. I won't go into details about this. It could do with a whole show on its own to talk about this, how this works. But basically, once all the options have been processed, they are deleted. So we don't need to deal with them anymore. And the result of that is that the file name argument, assuming there is one, will be the only remaining argument. So the next chunk is just a little bit where it checks to see that there is a file name argument, and if not, then usage is called to say, look, you called this wrong, here's what you should have given it. The other test is, assuming you have a file name, does it exist? So it's using the minus e option to the test. So there's an if statement which tests to see whether the file in $1 exists. So if it doesn't, then it says file not found and exits. The next little chunk should really have been stuck on the other one, actually, shouldn't it? Checks to see whether the dry run variable, which is set depending on whether the minus lowercase d option was present, contains the value 1, and if it does, a message is output saying you're in dry run mode, we're not going to actually change anything. The next chunk is the business of working out what speed we want. So we've counted up the number of S options, and it's in a variable called speed up. There's a test done to say, is it 0? And if it is 0, then we didn't want any speed up. So we actually store the result of the speed up stuff in a variable called tempo. And that's in order to be fed to the socks command a bit later on. So in this case, we just set tempo to nothing. It's an empty variable. if speed up was not zero, is greater than zero, then we need to do some further stuff. But before I talk about that, I'll just mention the first bit, which there's a variable called speeds, SPEEDS, in capitals, which is an array, and it contains a list of speeds. So in my particular case, I've used 1.05, 1.1, 1.2, etc., up to 1.7. These are speeds that I wanted to be able to apply. Your mileage may vary. I can't really handle fast speeds in audio. I've tried turning up to 1.7 and I cannot follow it. My brain is now unable to deal with stuff at that speed. So you could, if you wanted to use this script, hack around with that list, take some stuff out, add some stuff in, and it might then suit your needs better. But this is tailored to me. So it's an array of the elements that you'll see if you look at the notes. There's a test here that says if the variable speed up is greater than the number of elements in the array, then set it to the number of elements in the array. So if you put umpteen S options in there and it's more than the elements in the array, then it will just index the last element of the array. Then the script decrements the speed up variable because we will then want to use it to index the array, and arrays in Bash and many other languages are indexed from zero. So if you've got one of them, we want it actually to indicate the zeroth element, which is the first element, but it's indexed by zero. So we set a lowercase speed variable to the element from the array speeds indexed by speed up after it's been fiddled about with. Then we set variable tempo in uppercase to equal the string tempo space and then the numeric speed which you've got out of the array. And the reason for that is tempo space number 1.5 or something is one of the parameters we'll need to be giving to the socks command a bit later on. Next chunk is similar stuff, but it relates to silence truncation. Now this one's more complicated in that the array consists of only two elements, and each element is a string, in double quotes, which consists of a list of values. So the first one is 1, followed by 0.1, followed by 1%, minus 1, 0.5, 1%. Go and check out that previous episode, 1766, and the reference that I've actually included in the comments of the script to find out what the hell these things mean, because I'm not really sure. But it's about detecting silences which are not too short, so that you don't want to chop out, you know, the silences that result from people breathing, but because otherwise it sounds terrible, I think, anyway. You want to be detecting silences which are a bit longer than that, and so on and so forth. This is one of the areas I found difficult to fully get my head around, so this is why I've made a script to so I don't have to think about it anymore. And I haven't thought about it for over a year, so you can tell. Anyway, the bit of code in this chunk uses that array, and it does the same sort of logic. There's a variable called truncate, which may be zero, because there was no minus T option at all, in which case we set a variable called silence to nothing. But if there was a value, then we make sure it's not longer than the array, which is only two elements, not greater than the number of elements in the array, is what I mean. And we need to decrement it to make it the correct sort of index, starting at zero. Then we pull out the value, or the string, that is relevant. And we then build this variable silence to contain the word silence, space, and then that list of numbers and percents and stuff. So by the time we've got to the end of this lot, we've got a couple of the arguments for the SOX program prepared. And there's one more in the next chunk, which is the mixdown business. So there was a minus lowercase m option, and if that was zero, it wasn't used, then there's a variable called remix, which is set to empty. Otherwise, remix is set to the string remix space hyphen. Then the next bit is an if statement which checks to see if the debug option is on. And if it is, then all of the variables that I've been talking about are all dumped out. Their values are dumped out so that the if you're hacking on the script, you can work out what the hell you did wrong. And I did do some things wrong when I was writing this, I have to say. Got a little bit mind-bending. So the next test is maybe a little bit controversial, actually. Didn't realise it until I was preparing this. It checks to see if tempo, which was the speed-up thing, and silence, which is the silence truncation thing, if both of them are empty, then it says, well, there's nothing to do, and exits. That actually is not true, because I think I must have created this the point at which before I'd added the mixdown thing. So you might want to do, next version I might add in something a bit more sophisticated at that point. But basically it's looking to see if you've created a bunch of options which it's not really worth following because there's nothing worth doing. And if so, it exits with a message. Okay, next chunk, we're dealing with the file name because we want to create a version of it with that underscore that I mentioned at the start. We need to do various things to the file name. The first thing is to save the original name. And to do that, I've used the realpath command, which is one of the GNU commands. I think John Culp mentioned it first. I didn't know about it till fairly recently. But basically, it goes to a path name that you give it and removes, rationalizes, canonicalizes all of the weird bits. So if you've got /.. blah 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 in a path, then it means go there, then go up again, then go down there, and so forth. Well, you don't really want all that nonsense in a path, because there is a clearer path which is the result of doing all these traversals of the directory tree. So realpath resolves that, plus also symbolic links and things like that. It resolves. So it does path resolution anyway. Then the path names is all chopped up into the directory portion, the name portion, and the extent after the name. And a new variable, a variable called new, is created containing that directory, that name, with the underscore taken off the end, added to the end, I should say, followed by the extension. So that's the bit that creates the name with an underscore before the extension bit. Then the script reports what file it's processing. That's the resolved one. It then checks to see if the new variable, which is the file name we're going to create, if it already exists. Because if it does, then there's a good chance we already processed this file. So if it finds it, says, oops, looks like this file's already been sped up, and exits. Then the next stage is that the original file gets renamed to that new name. Though if the dry run option is on, it doesn't actually do the renaming. It says, I would rename this file to that file. So the next chunk is, as I've expressed here, the meat of the script. And it's where the socks program is given the various parameters that we've created. If dry run mode is on, then we don't actually do it. We simply construct the string of what would be done and display it. But if dry run is switched off, then we're going to run socks. Now, I chose this could be parameterized so that you might want to make it less verbose. I said I wanted a progress display, so socks will, if you run the script, socks will actually display what it's doing. I also requested a volume change. Comments here say a volume change by a factor of 2. I guess it's because I'm getting deaf. I always find quite a lot of podcasts are not as clear as I would like them to be. What's actually happening here then is socks is being called with -S -V2, lowercase v2. Then it's given the name of the new file, the one with the underscore in it, and the original file. So it's going to take the underscored one and write it to the original name. Remember, we renamed it to something else, so we're going to write back to what was the original name. Then it's followed by these variables tempo, remix, and silence, which have all got parameters in them or not, actually, but might have parameters in them which are relevant to socks. Now, as an aside, I left the comments in that I've got in my original, and there's a comment that says shell check disable equals SC2086. What this is all about, you might be interested in this, is I do all my editing with Vim, and within Vim I have a plugin called Syntastic, which is a thing that applies a syntax checker to the source file I'm editing, depending on what it is. And when you save the edits, the checker runs through and produces errors, any errors. It reports any errors, which you can then navigate and fix and so forth. The checker for Bash is called shell check, which you can run on the command line, actually. I have actually done it, but not for a long time. And one of the things it really gets upset about is if you, in Bash, use a variable in a context like this and you don't put it in double quotes, it gets very worried about it, because it's working on the principle that this could be a file name and file names can contain spaces, and if you don't quote them, you end up with the space becoming a parameter separator and things going wrong. So it nags you about this. But in this particular case, tempo, remix and silence will contain spaces, and I want them to contain spaces, and I don't want to quote them. So I've switched off the check for that stuff, and it just applies to the next line. So that's what that's all about. I think it's basically a nice thing to have, but sometimes it needs to be told to shut up and go away. So the script will be running socks. It will take some time, depending on the size of the file, and you'll get a longish report. Definitely next version should have a be quiet mode, I think. Final bit of the script is if the variable cleanup contains value 1, that's because the minus lowercase c option's been provided, then we want to do something about deleting the file with the underscore in it. Let's check to see if dry run is on, and if it is, it simply says, I would be deleting this file, but I ain't going to. It doesn't say that, but you know what I'm talking about. If dry run's not on, then it will just delete it. I just mentioned in the notes here that the last line of this chunk is a Vim, so-called Vim mode line, and that's a way in which you can provide standard parameters to Vim if Vim is editing the file. I'm not going to go into that here. So that's the script described. I hope it wasn't too tedious. If you thought it was going to be, you probably switched off already. So I used this script as part of my podcast download workflow. In particular, I processed the Linux Link Tech Show thus, because they tend to have quite long pauses in there, and it does well to be sped up a bit. So I've just given you a command line that I use quite often. I have a tool I call DB List Episodes. My podcast information is held in a database, and I tell it to go and list out all the episodes for the Linux Link Tech Show, and the ones that I currently have online, that is, and to feed their names to xargs. xargs is a Bash program. It's a program, actually, but anyway, which I'm calling from a Bash command line here, and I'm telling it for each of the files that it gets handed to run speed up with the arguments, the options minus SSST, so it will do three levels of speed up and also a truncation to it does reduce the length of TLLTS shows quite considerably. Nothing against them, of course. I'm just as able to have long pauses, except I usually cut them out of my shows when I'm sitting here not knowing what to say next. I've reused this script regularly since I wrote it, and does pretty much all I want it to do. Apart from some of the things that I've mentioned as I've been going along, there's logic errors, I think, in that business of checking to see whether there's an S and a T in the option list and then aborting if not. I think that's probably a mistake. I'd also quite like to have control over amplification, because for some reason BBC podcasts are very, very low in terms of sound compared to others. I turn my player up to listen to the BBC ones, and then another one comes on from a different source, and my ears are blasted by the sound. Why they are so low, I have no idea. Anyway, it's probably going to get another iteration, which is why I should really put it up on GitHub or wherever. Anyway, I hope you found that useful. I hope you grab the script and also find it useful. If you have any comments about it, or corrections or improvements or anything of that nature, then please let me know. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed it. Okay, bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.